I was hearing from wrong, and I'll die in here.
Seven. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
You're late. You're late.
Look up.
Look. Look, baby, I'm right there.
Yep. Right here, too. And the moon is over here, too.
I can't see.
Right through the trees. You should be able to see it right there. It's just a half moon. Better out here, a little boom box.
Yeah, I
could have put your little stereos in there, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm the watch.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh,
shit.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening and welcome to Defender 7 Saturday night broadcast. Our missing persons show. Hope everybody joins in and participates. For those of you new just tuning in, we also have a website. If you'll type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders7. And on our site, we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So, by all means, please purchase something. Or hit that donate button. Help us to help you and our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. We can also be reached on our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Now, before you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defender 7. If you get in and you feel it's not for you, you can always leave. No hard feelings. We also have a YouTube channel. Please hop over there and hit that subscribe button. Help us out. A lot of good info over there. We're also on MeWe. Click on organizations. Scroll all the way down. The Defender 7, Humanitarian, American Patriot Group. Now for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in and participate. Or if you want to stay anonymous, come on into our chat room here on Blog Talk. But that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Again, number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. I'm now going to bring in your host, our Colonel, Kimberly Purvis, and I am your co-host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Good evening there, Kimberly. You okay, kid?
How you doing? I'm just tired.
I'm doing pretty good. I got my grandbabies here. And we're sitting out by the fire pit, enjoying the night.
Well, I enjoyed my day for the most part. Georgia beat Auburn. UT beat
whoever the hell they were playing.
I don't know. They won. But there are a bunch of teams that got some ass whooping. But, not too bad. Ole Miss and whoever they were playing, those games were like to the last second of the game.
It's stuff like that.
Oh,
52 to 51.
Oh, shit. I said one of them type of games, huh?
Oh, yeah. And then, well, Arkansas, that game was the same thing. They got to the last minute. I mean, like three or four games went back and forth, and it was like, oh, holy shit. But, no, Georgia's 6-0. And they're ranked second because Alabama is 6-0. But they've had higher scoring games, even though Georgia's whooped ass, except for today, it was 34 to 10. I think it was 34. I don't know what the hell it was. To 10. So it wasn't pretty bad. I mean, I don't. Here's the thing. I quit watching the NFL. I have not watched the NFL in years. Not ever since Kaepernick and his bullshit. And they're just making it worse. So I don't watch the NFL.
Is that her oldest?
Yes. The only thing I watch is if they do the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem, and all that, I'll keep watching. But right now it's only hockey and soccer and college football. So the rest can kiss ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I said, you know, it ticks me off that people still pay to go see them games and knowing what they're all about.
Oh, yeah. Major League Baseball, the NFL, all of them, the NBA, gets my ass. Especially the NBA, because it's all holier than thou. This whole, it's a black sport. Who the shit cares?
Yeah,
who the hell do you think watches it? White people? And why are you going to be an asshole about it? So, fuck them. I won't watch it.
Because we're racist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bunch of crap.
It is. All this shit's a bunch of shit.
Oh, I know. I'm just...
Oh, I got to make you laugh though.
Me and
Crucial 5000 had to go to the VA the other day.
Yeah. Oh God.
Now you know I haven't worn a mask, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's a hospital, so I put my own personal cloth mask on.
Oh yeah,
and
they don't
care
which one you wear.
Oh, listen to this story. You're going to get a good kick out of it. So, Crucial, the same thing. He's got his regular cloth mask on.
Yeah.
So we get up there to the front of the hospital, and, you know, they got their little, oh, we got to have you check for COVID. So I walk up to the lady. I hand her my ID card, and she goes, you know, runs down the list. Do you feel like you have COVID? I'm like, no. Well, sir, I need you to take that mask off and pick this one up off my counter and put it on. And I looked at her and I said, I don't think so. I said, the mask I have on, if you're that worried about it, protects me more than you putting your ungloved hands on a mask that's sitting out in the element on top of your desk. Oh, well, I'm going to have to call security. I said, I don't care. Call whoever you got to. Well, 5000 was running into the same problem in front of me with a nurse that could not speak English.
Oh, good figure.
So the cop comes walking up, and he looked at me. He goes, you got a problem? I said, no, I don't. I said, she does. And he goes, well, you have to abide by our rules. I said, no. I said, it says, I have to be masked. I said, it doesn't say I have to accept your mask. I have to have a mask on, which
Why
I have on.
Why does yours make you have a certain kind? Ours is like, you have a cloth mask, you have a surgical mask, it don't matter.
No.
Mask is a mask.
No, they want you to put their mask on. So, long story short of it, this cop says, oh, well, he's got a point. Because I said to her, I said, you were just over-signing somebody's paper. I said, and you let him use your pen. I said, and you got bare hands. You come over, and on top of your desk, there's just a mask laying there, and you expect me to put that on my face. So they let me pass, and 5000 still having a problem. But guess what happens? This black nurse that was dealing with me walks over to 5000 with a brand new box and says, sir, open this up and take a mask out.
Wow.
What sense
RV
does that
is
make
too?
But what
is pretty
sense
decent.
Does, but what sense does that make?
No, I know what you're saying. Okay. It's like, well, I mean, what color is the mask? Is it the orange ones or the blue ones?
No, it's the blue ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The
probably
blue ones are
China,
thinner than the orange ones.
Probably from China.
Probably. But there's two types of surgical masks. There's the thin blue one, and then there's the orange one. It's orange on the outside, white on the inside. And
yeah.
It is thicker. And we have
yes.
the orange ones.
No,
and it's
this
like,
is all the blue ones, Kim. And this is my point. My point is, okay, like I said, I walk up to the desk. She only asked me if I've had, you know, cough and all that. You didn't take my temperature.
Oh,
you were over at a desk signing a paper, handed your pen that you had, having a veteran sign, and then taking your pen back, coming back over to your workstation, and expecting me to take a mask that's just laying on top there.
You know, all of this makes absolutely no fucking sense. None of it.
It don't.
Because
it's bullshit.
Because, oh, I know. Okay, think of it this way. Especially when you go to the grocery store. It really doesn't really matter wherever you go. You're leaving your house, which is, we're going
to
just say, for argument's sake, it's clean. Right?
I'm not gonna
You're
going to
get into your contaminated car.
Exactly.
That's a lot of money that I'm not
because,
to put into somebody else's home.
You know, you don't you don't spray your car down with Lysol, do you? I don't. So
hell
it's continuously dirty, okay? When I say dirty, I don't mean like shit all over the floor and dirty. I'm not talking about that. When I say clean, I mean wipe it down with Clorox wipes or whatever. Because I don't. Okay.
No.
So you're going from in your house where your house is, for the most part, clean. And I don't sterilize. Hell no. But I do use bleach to clean. So you're going to get in your car, drive out to a store, get out, go into a store that's not sterilized, where everybody's touched everything, put it in a cart, and then... If you, especially if you ring it up yourself, which I do. I don't like dealing with cashiers. But they repeatedly handle money and handle everybody's freaking items and then touch yours, stick them in a bag, which is now dirty, and you're going to put all that shit in your car and then take it into your house. And they want you to wear a mask.
That's
about as asinine as it gets.
Well, Kim,
now, some people,
here's the kicker
at Lysol.
I know. And here's the kicker that I thought would make you laugh is this VA, okay, after going through all that BS, I walk in through the double doors and the cop is sitting right there with no mask on.
Wow. I'm telling you, it takes all kinds.
You ain't kidding. And like I said, and I was only joking with 5,000. I'm like, oh, yeah, I see how this is. You get the brand new box to open on your own. And he starts cracking up laughing. Okay. And he goes, oh, dude. Don't make it a racial thing. I said, I'm not. I said, but look at it. She let you handle that box. And let
no,
you
I know.
Open it. It's the same freaking difference.
We have one nurse when you walk into the front of the hospital. We have one entrance. You can only get in one way, but you can leave in multiple doors. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't make it where
yeah,
you have to.
We,
so,
right. We got,
well, except the physical
the same
therapy.
Way here.
Yeah, except physical therapy is at the other end of the hospital, and they allow you to go in and out that way because that's a long way for someone to go to physical therapy. And this is a huge campus, right? Okay, so there's one nurse when you walk in the door. She'll I'm like, no. Because I'm like, I know what you're going to ask. And they don't get upset. Some of them kind of laugh at it, whatever. They have a good sense of humor about it. And then they'll take the temp. And they'll say, do you know where you're going? And I'm like, yeah. And like, okay. Because sometimes we have people that will guide you to go wherever you got to go if you don't know where it's at.
Sure.
And then they have gloves on, and they have the box of masks, and they will hand you a mask every time. You don't take it, they give it to you. Now, at one point in time, they were giving us these white cloth masks, which are pretty thick, because somebody was making them. Well, now we have the orange masks. They don't use the blue surgical masks. The blue surgical masks are used exactly for that in surgery. So anyway, if you go in with a mask on, they don't care. They don't ask. I wear, you know those neck gaiters?
Yeah.
Not the ones that we got in service, but the ones you could buy. I have an American flag one.
About.
I got a black. Yeah, and then I got a black tactical one or black camo.
Where do you wear that?
I wear those.
I don't really have anybody too much.
And then I end up, what I do with it, I use it as a head, on my hair.
Yeah.
Like a headband. And then I just bring it down as a mask, and then when I get to where I'm going, I put it back up as a headband.
Right.
I'm like, this is stupid.
Here's another shocker, okay? So I had to help Lorna, you know, register her trailer and her truck and everything over here. We go in DMV. We go in the DMV. We don't need a mask. So we're up at the counter without no mask on. She gets her driver's license. So we go over to the property tax office. And when we walk in the door, and the two sheriffs sitting there, they've got them underneath their necks. So we're like,
oh, yeah.
But you want us to wear them? Are you fucking kidding me?
I know. I don't wear mine on my nose. Mine down.
But these are two sheriff's officers. They're sitting at the desk. Where you walk through to get, you know, just like the what do you call it? The security, where you get scanned.
Oh, yeah.
To see if you have a weapon on you.
And oh, that thing, okay.
They're sitting there with no masks on. And they're like, oh, you got to wear a mask inside those double doors there. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So then we leave there and we go to the Walmart. And the same thing that happened to me the other day at VA was happening at Walmart. This lady come up to me and Lorna. And she's like, well, you need a mask to enter the store. And I just kept walking. I was like, yeah, whatever. Because she picked one up with her bare hands. Again, there was a bunch of them laying out on top of the countertop. And she's going to want me to put that on my face? If you're that scared, I'm still not going to put it on. Well, you need it to enter the store. And I just kept walking. And Lorna's going, yeah, that's what I did in Wisconsin, too.
Oh, they don't even, Walmart, they have them up front with the mask. I just walked right in.
But not one person approached us.
No. If you look like, you know, you want to be approached, who'll approach you? Me, I just walk right in.
That's what
I do not care. Yeah.
That's what we
and
were doing.
Kroger
and
said all...
Lorna was cracking up.
Kroger said all their stores countrywide have to have a mask on. Nope. Walked right in. I do not care. I am not...
No.
No, I'm done with this shit. I'm done with it.
Kim, I have not... Like I said, medical facilities and... My father's funeral, yes, I wore one.
Yeah.
But I didn't wear it the way that you wanted to wear. And I refused to put one on
my
face. I refused to have it on my face to begin with.
No, I mean in the hospital, like at the VA. I just cover my mouth, and then some of the doctors, the physical therapists, they're like, you don't have to wear that mask, okay? Because it's stupid.
The other shocker I got. This was my primary checkup. This is a new doctor. I've never met her face to face.
I got a new doctor too. Mine went to Texas.
I'm not going to mention no names, no VA facility because they're cool. And this nurse, this male nurse that I've been friends with since I've been going to the VA, he was even joking. He goes, can I interest you in the flu shot? And we have many other shots available to you if you want them. And he kind of chuckled. And I looked at him, I said, come on, man. You know me. And he's like, yep, but I have to ask.
No,
so
I know.
So I get with my doctor, and she's like, are you afraid of COVID? I'm like, no, I think this is a bunch of BS. And she started cracking up laughing. She goes, good, we'll get along just well. And she took her mask off. I took mine off. She's like, after she checked me out and everything, she goes, can I give you a hug? I was like, sure, I love hugs. And she gave me a hug. She's like, I could see this is going to be a great relationship.
I've got a new doctor. I don't know who he is. Mine, she went to Texas, to a Texas VA, so I don't know. I've yet to see my doctor. The nurses that we have are pretty great. They wear the mask under their chin.
Yeah.
It all depends on the person.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. It all depends on the person. But hundreds of times, I am not living in fear. Now, don't get me wrong. If COVID was like Ebola or the Spanish flu, you fucking right, I'd be wearing a mask. I'd be wearing a gas mask if it was freaking Ebola.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because that shit, 80% mortality rate or death rate. Yes, I'm going to wear a mask for something like that, for a hemorrhagic flu. Not for a cold flu. I'm not doing it. I've already had it. I survived. It's not going to happen. So...
But that's the point. That's the point I was trying to make the other night, is that it's because of these hospitals, and they're freaking going by CDC protocols just to keep the money coming in.
Yeah.
And the first thing you want to do, you got 1 degree over 97.5. We got to take you up to ICU. You have to be intubated. Oh, the shit you do.
But see, and that's what I don't get, like I said. Here's the thing. Our VA? Fuck no. You have to have – I had a temp of 103.5 when I went in there. I went to the regular COVID unit. They shut off. They lock it – not lock it down, but they got it all closed off. And
right.
My oxygen, and someone told me, then your oxygen wasn't low enough. I'm like, dude, my oxygen was 83%. Yeah, I got oxygen by nasal cannula. You do not need to be intubated unless you don't need to be intubated, period, unless you're in respiratory distress. Like you can't breathe or you're not breathing. If your O2 is in the 70s, guess what you get? 100% non-rebreather. That's what I did when I was in the nursing home and in the hospital. We only intubated if the person stopped breathing or their oxygen was way, way, way below. But you still didn't get intubated. You got the little the AMBU bag is what you got.
Right.
The 100% non-rebreather.
Just so our listeners know, my problem with it all is our VA here has already tried to kill me not once but twice. So, yeah, I'm on high alert on anything that they want to try or try to prescribe to me.
Yeah, and that was the VA that I was at in Tennessee. They almost killed me. It had nothing to do with COVID. It had to do with their poor anesthesiologist they had.
Right.
And they don't listen.
So, So why would I listen to any of my so-called doctors or, you know, their so-called medical professionals trying to force me to put a fucking mask on?
Well, see, when I say Kansas has a, well, in Wichita, we have a great VA. They don't want you admitted with COVID. No, they don't. They try to keep as many. If you could stay home, stay home. Because when I went in, they tested me for the influenza A and B, came back negative, and then they tested me for COVID. And he's like, okay, you got COVID. He's like, you want to go home? Yeah. So he was going to give me my antibiotics, and he told me to take vitamin D, C, zinc, and an aspirin. I'm like, cool, until he checked my oxygen. When it was 83, he's like, I can't let you go. Not with 83%. He's like, I can't. And when they checked my D-dimer, it showed I had blood clots. So they definitely couldn't let me leave. With blood clots in your lung, you can die from that shit. So the thing is, your doctors, you need to be proactive with your doctor and your nurses that you deal with. Like, don't just say, okay, and be, you know, all gullible and willy-nilly. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll take that. No. I question everything. Not just because I've been a nurse for 21 years. I question everything. I've always questioned everything, even before I became a nurse. Okay? And so I asked him, I said, are you putting me on hydroxychloroquine? He's like, nope, we're going to do remdesivir. Okay. And it's IV only, it's stronger, it lasts longer, and I got better. They know that I'm not a kidney patient. They know I don't have kidney failure. That's what your blood work is for.
Okay.
I know
now,
not everybody knows.
Now that you're talking about your blood work, all right, I got a great on my blood work from this doctor. She said it's the best since 5 years ago. Okay. Now, you know my dilemma of them telling me that I am a diabetic type 2.
Yeah.
Now, they were prescribing me metformin. I never took one, and I still don't take one. And I let her go through her spiel. And, yeah, all my blood work is perfect. She goes, whatever you're doing, dude, keep doing it because you're doing right. And I looked at her. I said, yeah, I never took the metformin. And her eyeballs looked like they wanted to pop out of her head. She's like, well, you were supposed to be. I said, why? I said, just because you told me, you know, not you, but my previous doctors have said that I'm a borderline diabetic. I said,
yeah, the
I check my
that
blood
be.
Every day. I said, my blood has never, unless I have candy or something, which I don't do. I don't put sugar in my coffee. So
the only time I do sugar in my coffee is if it's bitter.
Right. But I don't
use a whole lot.
I put a little bit of milk in it. That's it. But my point that I'm getting at is that they gave me, you know, all the setup, the finger prick and all the test strips, and I've been doing it for over 5 years. My blood has always been a steady 89, 92. And when I have something sweet, up to 138. Never high.
I think the highest mine's been is 110, carbohydrates or you know, something sweet. Because carbohydrates will make it go up too. But they want me on.
And I looked at my doctor and I said, so you're telling me my blood work is perfect, the best that you've seen since looking at my chart for the past 5 years. I said, so obviously there's something off, whether it be your testing skills or whatever, but my blood has never come back as a diabetic until they...
Mine hasn't either.
Until they were well, I can understand that they're being on guard because of all the steroid shots I had in my back. That's what put
on. That's possibly why.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, Kim? That was over 15 years ago that I took the last shot because I told them, I said, it's not helping. All I'm seeing is blowing me up like a pig.
See, that's why I've gone off all my medications. I cannot, my stomach is so fucked up right now, I can't even get rid of it. I've got high cortisol levels, but they won't do anything about it. And my thyroid is like molasses on a cold day. That's how slow my metabolism is. I do everything else. Like I said, I need to get another blood pressure machine because my dog chewed mine, little bastard. And I don't take any medication right now. Nothing. Just my vitamins.
Well,
I remember to take it.
Well, Kim, I went from taking over 20 different medications that was prescribed to me. And you know what I'm down
21.
To now? I'm down to 4.
Well, don't get me wrong. I've got my Zofran, my Flexeril, my melatonin, and my Furoset. But those are as needed. I'm not taking any regular medications. I won't. I'm done with it. I purge my body of all medication except for when I need the Zofran, and I got to make an appointment to go see this new doctor. And I'm going to tell him, say, look, dude, I'm off everything. I don't care. I'm done with it.
And it's just like one of the main ones that I definitely know I need is the Losartan. And that's for the hypertensive. Because I have a leaky valve now.
Oh,
but you know where the
leaky valve. It's mild.
Well, you know where the leaky valve came from was when they tried to kill me back in June.
Oh. Yeah, I have a aortic valve regurg. And that's the main one that you have to worry about. And it's mild, so I'm not worried about it. So
right. But I have to watch because my mom had her aortic valve replaced. My second oldest sister had her heart valve replaced, then just had another one replaced again 3 years ago, and now has a pacemaker, and the dumbass went ahead and got the friggin' shots.
I've heard
so
too much shit
runs,
about it, and I'm not doing it.
But the heart thing runs in the family. My heart was damaged, and my outside freaking cardiologist already told me it was damaged from the VA, from what they put me on.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you know, I'm living day to day now. And I'm fine with it because I went from 20 medications down to 4.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I have my rescue inhaler, too. That's all I've got. 5. And I hardly ever use the rescue inhaler. Literally, I think I use it twice in a month. So, I mean, it's like, whatever. I don't care. And the better you eat and the more you change your diet, I'm hardly active. And I say hardly active because it's just too damn hot to go outside. But in the fall, I'm going to start walking more and just start, you know, running is not good for you. It don't do shit for you. They've already come out and said that. It don't do shit for you. What I am going to do is I'm gonna start going back to the Y because of the sauna and the hot tub. Because in the sauna, you melt your body and sweat everything out. And then the hot tub, of course, is the hot water for the, you know, the jets and stuff. So, and that's what I'm going to start doing.
That's why I was always doing their pool yoga.
Yeah.
Because with my injuries with my back, that's why I don't need shots no more. That between that and the acupuncture, that's why I'm not in a wheelchair anymore.
I need to go to acupuncture or something. I've got my TENS unit and
no, Kim, I'm telling you, you will thank me. You'll want to kiss me and hug me.
What?
Because that's how good it feels. You feel like a million bucks
before.
When you get up off that bed and know that every tensed up part that was bugging you is gone when you walk out of that office.
Oh, yeah. I've had that done, and I loved it. And I had dry needling done. And let me tell you something, that dry needling is on the line of acupuncture, except it goes all the way to the bone. You don't feel it. And it's like, wow, I don't have shoulder pain, my right shoulder, my right elbow.
But see, something else that helps it even more is when they hook up the electrodes to the needles.
Oh, that's the the current where they check to see if you've got
no.
A block. Yeah.
This massages from the inside out.
Oh, that kind. Okay. Well, I've never had that kind.
Yes.
I've had regular acupuncture.
Kim, that's why I'm saying you got to tell them hook the electrodes, and they'll know right away that you know what you're talking about. You get
the
that,
biggest problem
that
I have
done one time, you're going to be like, holy shit.
The biggest problem I have is my spine's twisted at the bottom. It's twisted or slightly twisted. And I have ankylosing spondylosis is what I have. And plus when I fell off the tower, that fucked it all up. And so both of my hips, I can always, like, I don't sit like a normal person. I sit on my side almost, like, you know, in my big chair. And anybody who's born in the 70s sits like this. We sit with our feet up in the chair. We don't sit with our feet on the floor. And it's like you're sitting pretty much on your hip. That's the way I sit. And then I have to switch to the left side and then to the right side. And the same thing with sleeping. Cannot lay. I can't sleep with my back or my stomach. And it's like because of the lower back and my hips. So, shut up, dog. I let you out. Freaking dog. We need to go ahead and get started here. Last week, they added names. They've added a few more names. And I'm trying to remember which ones, but what I wanted to do was the parental kidnappings first.
Yes.
And give these dirtbags some attention that they deserve. So the first one, now here's the other thing. We don't really know the circumstances of the parental kidnapping. So
no.
They're just here. Because if you think about it, when there's an abusive spouse, and I don't think they have an underground for abusive fathers. I mean, abused fathers. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Like if the father's abusing the kids and the wife, she could go underground and disappear.
Right. No,
and
they don't.
She,
nothing for
it
the
becomes
male.
But is that still parental kidnapping, or is it parental kidnapping only if they're separated or divorced?
Well, in our eyes, that's only because of divorce. But any other situation other than that, the reason why they don't have the Underground Railroad for the father that is definitely trying to do the right thing for his kids is because they go to the mother.
Well, I mean, they should, because if the mother is abusing the kids, then, yeah, the father should be able to disappear.
Right.
But the problem is you can never see your family again.
No, because then you become
the whole thing.
Somebody that kidnapped your kids.
But I don't think it should be called parental kidnapping if you're still married.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I agree with you, but the laws look at it different, because if you're out of that house for more than a month and a half and married and not divorced yet, you're still considered separated.
Oh. I don't know. I just think it's weird how they look at it. But here's the thing. If there's reported abuse and nothing is ever done and the parent runs with the kid, you know what? Good for them.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Good for them. But if you say there's abuse, and, I mean, if you never say, oh, I'm being abused, or if there's no proof of it and you run, nah, see, that shit don't work. There has to actually be proof of abuse before you can run. Not just because you want to be an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, there are parents that do this shit. But the first
right.
one is Eileen Rivas Vera. And her child is Chloe Combe Rivas. Her birthday is June 22nd, 1980. She was born in Mexico, brown hair, green eyes. She's 5'4", 110 pounds. She's Hispanic. She is a citizen of Mexico who entered the United States in either 2001 or 2 with a student visa. Additionally, she may be an escape risk and have suicidal tendencies. Eileen Rivas Vera is wanted in international parental kidnapping in Platte City, Missouri, on March 15, 2006. Law enforcement was notified that Chloe Combe Rivas was allegedly taken to Mexico by her mother without consent or knowledge of Chloe's father. At the time of this incident, Rivas Vera and her husband were in the process of getting divorced. Additionally, on July 3rd, 2006, her husband was granted sole custody in the divorce decree of their daughter, Chloe. And so she's been charged with international parental kidnapping. So, and there was no abuse. It's because she got sole custody, and that's why she ran. All right. Gilbert Arredondo Hernandez. Took his, I guess it's his son, Austin Cole Hernandez. Yes. He was born March 15th, 1965. He has black hair, brown eyes. He's 5'5", about 150 pounds. He's Hispanic. He has a scar on the back of his head. They have an NCIC number, W03676814. Hernandez may be in the Las Vegas, Nevada, or Los Angeles, or San Bernardino counties of California, or Mexico. He's wanted for allegedly kidnapping his son, Austin Cole, from Tehachapi, California, on April 28, 1997. A local arrest warrant was issued for Hernandez on May 28, 1997 by the Kern County Sheriff's Office after he was charged with parental abduction, a federal arrest warrant was issued for Hernandez on November 4th, 1997, in the U.S. District Court of California, Bakersfield. And he was charged with unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. And apparently they still haven't found him, so, because he's still on FBI's Most Wanted. Marcel De Rocha, yeah, sure, G-U-I-M-A-R-A-E-S. The victim is Nicholas Scott Brand. She was born April 10th, 1978, in Brazil, brown hair, brown eyes, 5'6", about 120 pounds. She's Brazilian. She speaks English, Portuguese, and Spanish. Her NCIC number is W26060582. Marcela De Rocha and Nicholas Scott Brand have been known to frequent the area of Salvador, Brazil, Guimarães has dual citizenship in both the U.S. and in Brazil. In 2013, Marcel De Rocha, in violation of U.S. court order, allegedly took her son Nicholas from the U.S. and traveled to Brazil. Both mother and son have not returned to the U.S. In May of 2018, co-conspirators were convicted of international parental kidnapping of their involvement. On March 13, 2017, an arrest warrant for her was issued in the United States District Court, Southern District of Texas, in February of 2018. She was indicted by a federal grand jury for international parental kidnapping and conspiracy. So, I hope they find them. Okay. I believe we went over this one. I'm not sure. Yeah, but okay. Ahmad Abdallah Taha Kandil. He was born June 1st, 1971. He was born in Egypt, has brown hair, green eyes. He's 6 foot, about 170 to 180 pounds, and he is Egyptian. He has dual citizenship in the United States and Egypt. He's wanted for international parental kidnapping pursuant to an arrest warrant issued November 21st, 2014, in the U.S. District Court of Virginia. In 2014, he and his estranged wife each resided in James County, Virginia, shared joint custody of their two children, Bilal Kandil and Amina Kandil. On August 29, 2014, he picked the kids up from his estranged wife's home and advised her that he was taking them to visit his sister out of town and would return before school started. Instead, he and the children flew out of JFK Airport to the Ukraine and then to Atatürk, Turkey, and never returned. On September 5th, 2014, the Circuit Court of Williamsburg and James City granted the children's mother immediate, sole, and legal custody. They may be in Alexandria, Cairo, or Giza areas of Egypt, or the Hatay region of Turkey. So, all right. Hilal Hassan Ali Jafar. Good God. He has got a shit ton of aliases. Halil Hassan Ali. Halil Hassan Ali. Hilal Hassan Jafar. Hilal Jafar Al-Lawati. Halil Hassan Jafar. Halil Jafar. Halil Hassan Jafar, Halil Hassan Al-Jafar, Halil Hassan Ali Jafar. good God, he's got like five more. And it's about all the same thing. Anyway, he was born September 2nd, 1967 in Kuwait. He's got black hair, brown eyes. He's 5'10", about 200 pounds. It says he's white, but he's not. He's from Kuwait. He's the imam for the Masjid Ibrahim Al-Khalil Mosque in the Al Ghubra suburb of Muscat, Oman. He has a daily television show on Oman TV in Muscat. Jafar also works in the offices of Islamic Affairs in Mutra, an administrative district of Muscat. Now, here's the thing. If he works there, why can they not get him on international parental kidnapping? He also may have ties to Toledo, Ohio, Oman, Iran, Kuwait, India, Lebanon, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and Dubai. He speaks Arabic, Farsi, English, Indian, limited Turkish, and Al-Lawadi, the local dialect in Oman region. Regarding physical characteristics, he wears glasses on occasion, has a small mole or birthmark on his left cheek, which is undetectable when he has a beard, which he has a beard most of the time. He may be dangerous and have violent tendencies. He's wanted for international parental kidnapping. He kidnapped his son, Mohammed Al-Hilal Jafar, on January 20th, 2006, while they were overseas in Oman. When Mohammed's mother was ready to return from Oman to her home in Toledo, Ohio, her husband Jafar would not release Mohammed to her. Both father and son are believed to be in Muscat, Oman. On September 19th, 2006, Jafar's wife was granted an absolute divorce from him, and she was named the sole residential parent and legal custody custodian of Mohammed. He was charged with willfully retaining a child under the age of 16 who has been in the United States outside the U.S. with the intent to obstruct a lawful exercise of parental rights of physical custody of the child. Additionally, a federal arrest warrant was issued by the U.S. District Court of Ohio. So I think they should, with these international kidnappings, there should be extradition. Francina Decane Fernandez. She was born April 20th, 1970 in the Philippines. She's got black hair, brown eyes, 5'3", about 100 pounds. She is Asian. She's also a paralegal. She has ties to California and the Philippines. During the course of their relationship, Francina Fernandez and her boyfriend had three boys who are now adults. The couple never married, and in June 2001, the relationship ended. They became embroiled in a lengthy, aggressive custody visitation dispute in the San Diego Family Court. In November of 2004, the mother reportedly mentioned to the father that she and the children were planning a two-week vacation in New Zealand. He told her the trip would violate the court orders, and Fernandez's attorney was served with a notice of an ex parte hearing scheduled for November 8th of 2004. At the hearing, a judge ordered that neither parent could take the children out of jurisdiction of the court, and that the children's passports were to be relinquished. The passports were never returned. Also, in November, it was reported that Fernandez abruptly left her job and a relative filed a missing persons report of her. She may have fled with her children to the Philippines. So on December 9, 2004, a state warrant was issued in the state of California, San Diego, charging her with three counts of child abduction. A federal arrest warrant was subsequently issued February 4th, 2005, charging her with international parental kidnapping. Ann Caballo. Also, Ann Yermak and Saul and Yermak and Ann Kaplan. She was born March 25th, 1963 in New York. She got brown hair, blue eyes. She's about 5 foot tall, 120 pounds roughly. She's white. She's a bookkeeper. Ann Caballo may wear glasses when driving. Last known address was in New Hyde Park, New York. The Caballos may be traveling with a 12-pound red mini spaniel dog named Vodka. She's wanted for failing to return her daughter Samantha to the girl's father after an authorized weekend visit. Caballo's estranged husband had been awarded custody of their daughter after the divorce. She was to return Samantha to her father and suffer in New York on February 1st, 2001, but failed to do so. Neither Ann nor Samantha have been seen since then. On January 15, 2002, a federal arrest warrant was issued for her in the U.S. District Court, White Plains, New York, charging her with unlawful flight and to avoid prosecution. Jennifer Lee Settle. Okay, and they have a video of this also on their website. She was born January 30th, 1971 in Elkton, Maryland. She's got light brown hair, brown eyes, 5'3", about 110 pounds. She is white. Jennifer Lee Settle is wanted in South Carolina for allegedly abducting her 11-year-old daughter, McKenna Butcher. Law enforcement received information that following a family court order, full custody of McKenna was given to the father. McKenna was missing from the Taylor's South Carolina home on April 25th, 2019. McKenna may be in the company of her mother. Issued for Jennifer Lee Settle by the state of South Carolina after she was charged with custodial interference on June 28th, 2019. Settle was also charged with unlawful flight to avoid prosecution, with a federal warrant was issued in the U.S. District Court in South Carolina. McKenna Butcher is described as a white female. Her birthday is November 14, 2007. She was 4'8" at the last time she was seen, 85 pounds at the last time she was seen, and she had light brown hair and blue eyes. Okay. Oryoko Uchiyama was born October 15, 1973 in Japan. Black hair, brown eyes, 5'7", about 100 pounds, female, Asian. She was also training to be a kindergarten teacher, and she has a scar on her lower abdomen. They say she enjoys antique shopping. So on March 16, 2006, she is believed to have left California with her one-year-old daughter, Melissa Cobraden. She was involved in a custody dispute with the child's father at the time. And they believe that they are in Japan right now. There's a warrant for custody deprivation was issued for the arrest of Yukiyama by the Superior Court of Los Angeles. On March 27, 2006, and a federal arrest warrant was issued on May 15, 2006 by the U.S. District Court of California. And she has also been charged with unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. Flora Mahmood. Born November 27, 1979, in Pakistan. Black hair, brown eyes, 5'6", about 133 pounds. She is female. It says Central Asian, but I don't know what Pakistan, if that's considered Asian, or am I just retarded? Her NCIC number is W962393. She may have fled to Lahore, Pakistan via Dubai. She's a British citizen and may have a British passport. And Mahmoud recently got married. On November 6, 2004, Mahmoud allegedly took her son, Mohammed Hussein Melta Jr., and departed by JFK to Dubai. The boy was taken without the consent of his father, who is the primary custodial parent. On November 6, 2004, a Middlesex County grand jury indicted her on interference with custody, and a warrant was issued for her arrest. On or about December 15, 2004, it's alleged that Mahmoud departed Dubai, traveled to Lahore, Pakistan, where she may still be residing with her son. After a final judgment of divorce was issued between Mahmoud and her husband, he was awarded legal and physical custody of their son. On May 17, 2007, a federal arrest warrant for her was issued in the United States District Court of New York. Okay. Ahmed El-Safi also goes by Ahmed Abdallah Mohammed Abdullah Ahmed Mohammed Ahmed Hamoud Hamoud Ashman Marie and Muhammad El-Safi. Oh, wow. I don't know how old he is, but he uses September 22nd, 1961, September 23rd, 1961, September 24th, 1961, and October 18th, 1969. So he was born in the Sudan, black hair, brown eyes, 5'11". He's black, and he's been a mechanic for an airline in the U.S. He may also be a pilot. He may have traveled to the Sudan, Saudi Arabia, or Yemen, and he is considered an escape risk. He is wanted for fleeing the U.S. with his two children, Sarah Raquel El-Safi and Tariq Ahmed El-Safi, whom he had joint custody of with his ex-wife. On May 9, 2003, he picked up his two kids in Miami for a scheduled visitation. El-Safi failed to return the two children to the mother on May 11, 2003. His ex-wife reported El-Safi to local law enforcement authorities in Miami on May 14, 2003. His wife filed for a divorce and got a temporary sole custody for the children. He was charged locally in the 11th Judicial Court of Florida with child removal from state. On April 8, 2004, a federal grand jury in Miami-Dade County indicted Ahmed El-Safi for the international parental kidnapping. That same day, a federal arrest warrant was issued in the U.S. District Court for El-Safi's arrest. As of 2012, he remains at large. His children, Sarah and Tariq, have not been located, but they have reached the age of 18 and are legally considered adults. So, I don't know. What do they do if they reach the adult? I mean, do the warrants still stand for kidnapping?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I know, like, fleeing prosecution, that shit stands, but I didn't know if the kidnapping, if it did after they reached 18.
No. Now,
okay.
It still goes on, I mean, because then they bring that 18-year-old in for questioning.
And see, that's the other thing. What if the child wanted to leave? That's the other thing.
The child has to contact the law enforcement that is searching for them and let them know. I mean, not child, but when they get old enough.
Oh, okay.
To let them know that they left on their own free will.
Yeah, see, me and my brother ran away. because we were being physically abused, emotionally abused, and all that shit when we lived with our mom and our stepfather. And when we left to go from Miami to Georgia, we're like, we're not going back.
Right.
And so my mom could have got my dad on kidnapping. However, we went to an attorney. I mean, we were 15 and 16 at the time, and tell them, no, we're not going home. You can't make us. And so that's how, I mean, that's what it should be. And we had to write a statement and all this other shit and for why we wanted to leave. But it depends on each state, too. And it depends on the situation, unfortunately. You know? So, anyway, Weichel, Nakata, Greenberg, Collins. Also goes by Rico, Nakata, Greenberg, Rico, Nakata, Rico, Greenberg, Rico, Nakata, Greenberg, Rico, Nakata, Greenberg, Collins. She was born June 3rd, 1964 in Japan. Black hair, brown eyes. She's about 110 pounds. She is Asian. She's believed to be in Japan with her son, Kisuki Collins. On June 16, 2008, she's believed to have left Santa Ana, California with her six-year-old son, Kisuki Christian Collins, and traveled to Japan. At the time, Greenberg Collins was involved in a custody dispute with the child's father, who was originally scheduled for visitation that evening. A warrant for the abduction was issued by the Orange County, California on August 26, 2008. A federal arrest warrant was issued September 15th by the U.S. District Court of California. She was also charged with unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. Maria Belen Frescaconi. She was born July 9th, 1984 in Argentina. She has brown hair, blue eyes. She's about 5'5", 110 pounds. She's Hispanic. She's a chef. She's Argentinian. She has tattoos on her back, lower abdomen, and right ankle. Her NCIC number is W547700968. She enjoys fine cuisine. She may display erratic behavior. She speaks English and Spanish and Italian fluently. She has dual citizenship in Argentina and Italy. Italy, Argentina, possibly Ecuador, and countries surrounding Argentina. She's believed to be in Argentina now. She's wanted for alleged involvement in the kidnapping of her son, Michael Alexander Reyes, from Miami, Florida. She no longer has custody of Michael. On August 31st, 2008, shortly after the birth of her son, Michael Frescaconi traveled to Argentina to visit family with Michael. Michael's father, Miguel Reyes, authorized the foreign travel with the agreement that she would return to the United States with her son. However, she never did and ceased all contact with Reyes. Michael was located by Interpol in Argentina. Good. So he's back. She's just still on out. On November 27, 2009, the civil court, pursuant to the Hague Convention, ordered the return of Michael to the United States. On December 21, 2010, the Supreme Court of Argentina upheld the decision of a civil court and order the return of Michael to the U.S. The order has yet to be executed. Oh, why did it say he was? You know, they need to rewrite that. Because this is that, where is it at? I read it. Well, you know what? I misread. My apologies. She still has not returned him, and he's still in Argentina. So on March 26, 2012, the Florida Miami-Dade County issued a final judgment Michael's natural biological father and ordered physical legal custody of Michael to Reyes on June 25th, 2013. She was indicted for international parental kidnapping by a federal grand jury of the United States District Court of Florida. And she also has an arrest warrant, a federal arrest warrant. So the day he was born, good God. Jeanine de Redier, she also goes by Jeanine Delbecq, Jeanine C. de Redier, and Jeanine C. Delbecq. She was born April 24, 1959, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Brown hair, brown eyes. She's about 5'3 to 5'4, about 135 pounds. She's female. She's female, no shit. She's also white. Even though she was born in the Congo, she's a her nationality is Congolese. Her NCIC is W76296-7209. English and may speak other languages. She has dual citizenship in Belgium and the Democratic Republic of Congo. She may travel to Dubai and the UAE and Belgium. Leslie Delbecq and her mother, Jeanine, are wanted for the alleged involvement in the kidnapping of Leslie Delbecq's daughter, Gabrielle Dom, from Broward County, Florida. So it's the grandmother and her daughter, her granddaughter. Leslie Delbecq is the ex-wife of Christopher Dom, Gabrielle's biological father. In 2010, during a court hearing in Florida, both were awarded joint custody. However, it's alleged that Leslie Delbecq and Jeanine de Redier arranged for Gabrielle to be taken from Florida on August 2nd of 2010 to arrive in Abu Dhabi, the UAE, on August 4th, 2010. All of their tickets to Abu Dhabi allegedly were purchased through an airline employee. On August 4th, 2010, Leslie Delbecq failed to return Gabrielle to her father, Christopher. As stated in the Broward County court order, Gabrielle is believed to have moved to Abu Dhabi in violation of the court order that denied Leslie Delbecq's request to relocate to Abu Dhabi with Gabrielle. On June 21st, 2011, Leslie Delbecq and Jeanine were indicted on international parental kidnapping by federal grand jury in the United States. And there's a picture of the mother, the daughter, and the granddaughter as well. All right. Oh, they have her daughter. Same information on Leslie. Let me go by her. She was born May 12, 1981. She was born in Michigan. She has sandy blonde hair, but she may have dyed it. She's got hazel eyes. She's about 5'6", 130 pounds. She is American. Her NCIC number is W76296-7719. She has citizenship in the U.S. and Belgium. She goes to Belgium, Dubai, and the UAE. But same information about her mom. So there is arrest warrant for both of them. All right, we got two more parental kidnappings. Rowayne Omar Murad, born July 13, 1960. He goes also by Rowayne Omar Murad, Rowayne Omar Murad, and Hassan Shibi. He was born in Beirut, Lebanon. He's got brown hair, green eyes. He's 5'9", about 170 pounds. He is in construction management engineer. He has a scar on his abdomen. His NCIC number is W40070-4490. He's thought to be in Beirut, also has ties to Syria, Turkey, Jordan, France, as well as Boston, Mass. He was working in New York until the time of abduction. Murad is a naturalized American citizen. He's wanted for allegedly kidnapping his two children from the residence of the parents of his estranged wife in Rutland, Vermont. On the morning of April 30th, 2000, he traveled to Vermont in order to meet his children. Shortly after arriving, he took the children outside to play with them in the yard of the property. He was then observed forcing the children into a vehicle and leaving the area. A federal arrest warrant charging him with international parental kidnapping was issued in Burlington, Vermont in May of 2000. Both children have been safely located, and he still remains a fugitive. So that's good to know. At least one good case. All right. Charles Martin Vossler. Sir Charles Wilson, Charles Malcolm Amidon, Charles M. Vossler, Charles M. Wilson, Charles Wilson, Charles M. Amidon, Charles M. Vossler, Jr. He also uses multiple birth dates, March 6, 1942. That is his true birth date, but he also uses March 6, 1943, and February 6, 1944. He was born in Stafford Springs, Connecticut. He has brown hair and brown eyes. He's 6'1", but 225. He's white. He's a real estate broker. His NCIC number is W50655-1943. The FBI is offering a reward of $25,000 leading to the location of either Charles Martin Vossler or his two sons. He has ties to Oklahoma, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Florida. He may wear glasses. Wanted for the kidnapping of his sons, Charles Jason Vossler and William Martin Vossler, from Rochester, New York, on October 9, 1986. On February 5, 1987, Vossler was indicted by a Stratford County, New Hampshire grand jury at Dover, New Hampshire, for two counts of interference with custody. A federal criminal complaint was filed on April 3, 1987. In the District of New Hampshire. A warrant was issued for his arrest and was charged with unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. And he is should be considered armed and dangerous. Nice big warning at the bottom. Well, there's a new one. I'm going to start with the newest one because this lady was just added, I believe. Wanda Faye Walker. She was born June 24th, 1956 in Nashville, Tennessee. She's got brown hair. She dyes it blonde. It's curly and brown eyes. 5'7", about 180. She's black. She keeps her hair very short, the little curls. The FBI is offering a reward of $10,000 for the information leading to the arrest and conviction of anyone involved in this case. Walker is also known by Wanda Faye Walker, who at the time was 60 years old, was last seen leaving her residence at the 1400 block of 11th Ave in South Nashville on October 4th, 2016. She had been residing there with her cousin. 3 days of not being able to find their grandmother, the family reported Wanda missing to the police. Wanda was an employee at the local Dollar Tree store and had missed 2 days of work, which was unlike her. Her car was located 1 week later in the 1,000 block of Wade Ave. The car contained many of her personal belongings that she would have taken with her had she simply run away. The car also contained evidence of a struggle. It is believed that Wanda had a physical confrontation with someone she knew. Person then drove Wanda's car to the location on Wade Ave and left it in the area because of their familiarity with the location. There was also a significant amount of plant material called privet. So she is still missing. I don't know how come they add. Do they rotate? the missing people? Because some of these,
they're supposed
to. 2016. Oh, okay, I thought they'd have them all. But she wasn't on there last week. I'm trying to do the ones, skip over the ones we already did. Did we do? Let's see. No, yeah, we did hers. I remember because of the tattoos that she's got. Why would you tattoo the inside of your lip?
I know, right?
I'm just trying to get to the ones we haven't done. Sarah Nicole Graham. Oh, yeah, we did her. She was the Walmart employee. We did her. Okay. Come on down, down, down. Did all them. Sorry, guys. I just don't want to repeat what we've already gone over, you know. Do the ones we haven't done. Okay. And I'm not trying to be mean. Unless you're born in a foreign country, please give your children normal names. Because if they ever end up on a missing persons poster, this is the reason why. And it's not, I mean, I'm not trying to be an ass or anything, but,
no.
You know what I'm saying? But Akia,
no,
Shanta,
no,
Eagleston.
In all the groups that I belong to, they say the same thing.
I mean, I'm not trying to be an ass.
No.
But it's when you come up with these, when you make names up, it makes it harder. I mean, I know you're trying to stand out, okay? But pick an old name that nobody uses anymore. I'm just saying. But anyhow, Akia Eagleston was born September 6, 1994. Black hair, brown eyes. She's 4'11", 100 pounds. She's black. She has a tattoo of cherries on her left shoulder blade. The FBI is offering a $25,000 reward for her whereabouts. She was last seen May 3rd, 2017 in the Inner Harbor area of Baltimore City, Maryland. She was 8 months pregnant when she disappeared and was reported missing May 7th, 2017. She did not show up for her baby shower. She has not been seen from or heard from at the time. At that point, it's a wonder if baby daddy wants anything to do with the baby. So, or there are instances where people actually will kidnap a pregnant woman because they want a baby. Those are very, unusual circumstances, though. Mark Randall, it's F-R-E-R-I-C-H-S. He was born July 17th, 1962, brown hair, hazel eyes, but he's bald. So when he does have hair, it's usually brown. He's 5'11", about 190 pounds, medium build. He's American. He has a one-inch scar on his left cheek, and you really can't see it. The rewards for the justice program, the United States Department of State is offering a $5 million reward for the location, recovery, and return of Mark Randall Farich. He disappeared February of last year. He was in Afghanistan. He was last observed wearing black boots, green tactical pants, a green jacket with a hood, and a silver scarf. He must be a reporter or an ambassador. You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't say what he did, because there's another one that's missing too. The other guy that's missing from in Afghanistan, the reporter. Come on.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but it doesn't say if he's an ambassador. Well, of course, it'd be more stink about an ambassador being missing. So he's got to be a reporter.
Yeah, he's a reporter. Yeah, in fact, I think he's a off-the-books journalist.
Was that the other guy? Because there's two.
The one
there's
American.
There's this one. There's two Americans that's missing in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but I thought one of them was from the UK.
Oh, I haven't done. Then that means there's three.
Yeah.
Because I did two Americans. One's an older guy.
Right.
And then there's him.
That's the guy from UK.
Oh, okay.
And then there's two younger guys right now that are missing.
Okay.
But they're both from America.
Oh, okay. Amber Elizabeth Cates, 1988, in Columbia, Tennessee. She has light brown hair, but she's also had blonde hair. It's long, unless she's cut it. She has green eyes. She's 5'5", about 100 pounds. There's a $25,000 reward offered for the location of her and the prosecution. Amber Elizabeth was last seen April 11th, 2004, in Columbia, Tennessee. She was on her way to spend her spring break with a relative, but has not been seen or heard from since the time of disappearance. That's all they have on her. They don't have anything else. Now, once you find somebody, how long do they have to notify the FBI and all of the agencies that are helping that you found that person?
That should be automatic, but with everything that they claim they're all backed up on, it doesn't usually happen that overnight.
But I mean, like, what I mean is how long, just say you were kidnapped and your family found you, how long do you have to notify the FBI or the police or whoever?
You know us, we have to automatically notify them ASAP.
Okay.
But when you're trying to find out information, then, yeah, they'll take days and weeks and months and years. But, it's both ways. It's supposed to be done ASAP.
Something that I learned when I traveled overseas by myself. It doesn't matter if you're by yourself, if you're in a group, whatever. If you're an American and you're going overseas, find the nearest embassy and let them know that you're traveling in that country.
Yeah, but
that
doesn't always help you out.
No. What I'm saying is, if you disappear,
I know what you're saying. Yes.
That way they could say, yeah, she made it there. She made it there. Not that they're going to do anything special for you. No.
No, and again, even though you go to the embassy, your family's still not going to know nothing unless you inquire.
Well, that's true. But like, so when I went to Scotland and Ireland by myself, and I didn't know about it when I went to England, but I went to the embassy. I'm like, hey, look, I'm an American citizen, I'm a veteran, and I was told, hey, look, I'm here, I'm going to be here for a few months, So should I disappear, at least my family will know I made it. I mean, I called my family every day. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
And I told them, so if and that's just it. If you're traveling, either for work, for pleasure, for whatever, and you have specific times that you say you're going to call your family and you don't, that's an important thing. Just don't go off all have coffee, whatever. Let people know what you're doing.
From experience, Kim, from experience
what?
Of being on top of an embassy, a U.S. embassy in Panama,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you from firsthand experience, I've seen and heard Americans come in and say the same thing you did, and they looked at them like they had three heads and was like, oh, okay, yeah, we got your name down. All right, thank you.
Oh, this is what I was told from those countries, from the UK, is what I'm saying. It depends on the country that you're – that you're going to. That's the other thing. The travel agency is also
I'm
the
telling
one
you from that, Panama.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're not going to care.
When we found out who we was supposedly guarding in there, we were automatically pulled out of there because we requested to leave. I'll leave it at that.
No, but what I'm saying is, like with your family, if you tell your family, hey, and see, here's my thing. Every time I went to somewhere new, like I go to a castle, and this is how I ended up with 8,000 pictures. As soon as I left the castle, boom, I posted them on Facebook.
Right.
So everybody saw them. So they knew, everybody knew, I mean, my family knew where I was at. Every place I went to all these abbeys. I went to this, that, and the other. The mall. Hell, they got a 6-story mall. You know, everywhere I went, I always – and that's what people should do. Don't wait till, like, the last minute. If you go somewhere, okay, someplace cool, whatever, you take pictures, and you want to share them with everybody, post them on your social media. Because this way, it's a place where they – well, see, here's the other thing. If someone's going to kidnap your ass, they're going to know where you're at. But usually this way they have a list of places you've been so they know where to look. If, God forbid, if something were to happen, if you don't notify somebody. And like I said, when you that post that I said to run away, I left the country. And then when the ransom demand came in for me to return home, I had a 2-hour phone call with my family. You're going to come home. Why? Why? You fuckers are the reason why I left. I told my family, look, if you keep this shit up, I'm packing my house and I'm leaving the country and I'm not coming back. And that's what I told them. I said, you're driving me insane. And I left for 3 months. Left America. Boom. Gone. Bye. And they're all boo-hoo crying. You come back. No, you should have been an asshole. I never would have left. You know? And that's what happened. And, you know, we're going over some of these posters and some of these people, and it's like, well, they left. Hell, I left a whole house. All I brought was suitcases with clothes, and boom, my happy ass was gone. Now, of course, if I didn't want to be found, I wouldn't have posted anything on Facebook, and I wouldn't have called them. In all honesty, I was threatening to stay in Scotland, in the Highlands. Like, nothing up there. Literally, every movie you watch about Scotland and the Highlands, that's what it looks like. To this day. And that's where I was going to go. I was done. Then I had to come back, unfortunately. Well, asshole.
Right. Well, I mean.
No, I'm telling you, man.
It's not hard to disappear. I disappeared for 5 years, and I was only right around the corner from my family. and they never knew it.
Well, my family, well, for the most part, everyone always knew, but I disappeared when I went to Virginia, which that was the biggest mistake of my life. I hate Virginia. I'm sorry. If you live, anyone lives in Virginia, your state sucks. your state
New
sucks.
Jersey sucks. Why do you think I moved south?
with all the crap that the governor of Virginia was trying to do with the full term abortion, it said that West Virginia is so embarrassed at Virginia that they are now formally being known as East Kentucky. Because they're so embarrassed of, they don't even want to be associated with Virginia, which I'm telling you, it sucks. It really does. It's one of those bad. That's because it's so close to D.C. So, anywho, I'm going to finish up a couple more. Antoinette Christine Tagliadito. They also have, on YouTube, the FBI.gov has a YouTube site, apparently. And they have all of their cases on there. But she was born December 25th, 1976 in New Mexico, brown hair, brown eyes. At the time, she was 4'7". She only weighed about 55 pounds. She's Native American and white. She has her scars are marked. She has freckles, pierced ears, a scar on her knee, a scar on her lip. She has moles on her back, right cheek, nose, left and right hands, and her right ankle. Let me see. Oh, good God. The moles, they're tiny little, they're the dark ones. It's not like a typical mole. She's a Navajo and Italian descent. At the time of her disappearance, she wore glasses. She was also known to wear a silver chain and a small turquoise cross pendant. She was last seen in her family's residence in Gallup, New Mexico, on April 6, 1986. She was last seen wearing a pink nightgown. She was taken from her home. At the time. Okay. See if we could get another one. Come on. All right. Blah, blah, blah. Where'd it go? Okay. Shayna Ashley Kirkpatrick. Maybe. Okay. It's just slow. She was born April 27th, 1997 in Oregon, blonde hair, blue eyes. At the time, she was 2'6" and about 30 pounds. She's white. She had a triangle-shaped birthmark on the back of her head. Shayna Ashley Kirkpatrick and Shasha Latine Henson, God, was last seen with their mother on April 4th, 2001, en route to Sacramento, California on April 29th, 2001. The body of their mother was found outside of Fernley, Nevada, but the whereabouts of the little girls are left, remain unknown. And Shasha, and literally Shasha, S-H-A-U-S-H-A, Latine was an infant at the time. Please be kind to your children and don't give them stupid names. I'm sorry. That's my opinionated remark for the night. Okay. Myra Lewis. I think we already did hers. Oh, no. Okay. So she was born November 30th, 2011. She's got black hair, brown eyes. She's 3'1", weighs about 27 pounds. She's black. She does have a little braid in her hair. She was last seen wearing white or khaki pants, a turquoise sweater with a bear on the front and pink tennis shoes. At the time, she was 2. She's been missing since March 14, 2014, She was last seen by family members between 10:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. playing outside her home in Camden, Mississippi. She's a cute little kid. Big smile. Okay. One of them cheesy smiles, as a matter of fact. Okay. Asha Jaquila Degree. Okay, she's been missing since February 14th of last year. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. She's been missing for 20 years. My bad. 20 years after the mysterious disappearance of nine-year-old Asha from her home in North Carolina, the FBI and local investigators continue to actively search for clues in the case. She was born August 5th, 1990 in Shelby, North Carolina, black hair, brown eyes. At the time, she was 4'6" and 60 pounds. She is black. She's been missing from a home in Shelby since February 14th of 2000. They put 2020 on the top. Since 2000, family members last saw her asleep in her bedroom at approximately 2:30 a.m., At 4 a.m., she was seen by drivers walking along North Carolina Highway 18 in Shelby, North Carolina. She was reported missing by her parents by 6:30 a.m. More than a year later, Asha's book bag was discovered buried along North Carolina 18 in Burke County. FBI in Charlotte is investigating in partnership with the Cleveland County Sheriff's Office at the North Carolina State at their FBI. So it is not known if she ran away and she ran away with her backpack or what, but they are still looking for her. All right, we'll do one more. Eileen Beth Mishloff. She was born March 12, 1975, in Lincoln, Nebraska, brown hair, brown eyes. At the time, she was 5'3". She is white. She had braces on her teeth. She had pierced ears, freckles on her cheeks and the bridge of her nose, and a small lump on the inside of her left ankle. She was last seen wearing a charcoal gray pullover, a spirit polo sweater, a pink and charcoal gray skirt with horizontal stripes, with black low-top KED sneakers. Eileen Beth Mishloff was last seen on January 30th, 1989. She was walking home from school in Dublin, California. At approximately 3 p.m. when she disappeared, witnesses recall seeing her walking alone Amador Valley Boulevard near Village Parkway that afternoon, but she was not seen again after that. Eileen's key fob was later found near the entrance to John Mate Park, which was along the route typically she took home. So they found her little key fob. Yeah, we got time for one more. I say one more. I'm going to finish off the row. Oh, I think this is the other guy. It's M-A-J-D. Kamala's. Born January 6, 1958 in Syria. He's got gray hair, brown eyes. He's 5'8". He's a psychologist. He's Syrian and American. He's a diabetic and requires regular medication. He has ties to Mazar, Syria. He's a psychologist who was treating refugees in the region from the war-torn Syria. In February of 2017, he traveled to Syria to visit an elderly family in Damascus. During this trip, he was also looking to establish a clinic to aid those who have been traumatized by the Syrian civil war. A day after driving, Kalamaz was stopped by a Syrian government checkpoint in a suburb of Damascus and has not been seen or heard from since that day. Yeah. So he's last seen at a checkpoint and he disappears. So, not saying anything, but maybe the government So,
oh, no, not the government. They would never lie
to
us.
No kidding. Oh, I know. Oh, no, that's not him. I was looking to see if there was the other reporter or, let's see. I'm just looking to see if this is who it was. Da-da-da. Yeah, here's another one. Yeah, here's another one. Another Paul Edwin Overby Jr. He's an older gentleman, and it's been 7 years since he's been taken. So it's another FBI. I don't know if it's a journalist or whatnot, but we'll finish them up next week. I still have 30 of them. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 31. To go.
Okay.
Should we get, yeah. And I hope, I mean, it all depends if they add more to the list. You know, there's more adults, like I said, there's more adults than children. So.
I know.
But and there's a lot of different reasons why people are missing.
I know, and it just gets me that, you know, everybody always sees missing persons as kids, but it's not. It's everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, you know, our suicides that are popping up on military bases.
I know. You know, that's why they... I don't know if they still do it or not, but when I was in 11 years ago, well, 10, the suicide, 7 soldiers committed suicide in a week at Fort Campbell. And so
right.
From that time on, you had to be with a battle buddy, no matter where
sure.
you were at. You went to a doctor's appointment, you bring in somebody with you. Unless you're going home, then you go home on your own. But
unless it's during COVID season, you know, then you can't take nobody.
Oh, shit, you don't even get – oh, hell. when one soldier got COVID, they sent him to his room for 2 days, back to work. And now all of a sudden you got to make him take a vaccine. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah. And you got to test them every other day.
Freaking bullshit.
I know.
I just, you know what? Just get this shit over and done with. Just stop fucking around. You know what I'm talking about? Just do it and get it over with. I'm tired.
Just tell the fucking truth.
Oh, I know.
Every day is a fucking different lie. It's a different lie every day.
But here's the thing. People are so gullible, they will believe anything.
Oh, yeah, because it was said on the media.
And I love how they say, well, trust the science. Dude, I do trust the science. Trust the science. The doctor that tells me, that you're full of shit. You're full of shit.
Right. And... You tell me to trust the science. Why have you not researched it yourself?
But here's the other thing. If it's so deadly, why does Congress, their aides, the post office, who else was it? And the illegal immigrants from Mexico and all the Afghans, how come they don't have to be vaccinated?
Exactly.
If it's so bad, why don't they have to be vaccinated? That's it. I'm done. So we only have a couple minutes left, so.
Right. But, you know, we've always brought it up here, and it just amazes me how many people believe Fauci and believe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
And even with all the facts out there, even with, you know, the current situation with them doing the audit. Come on.
Somebody,
now.
You know what? This is sad. Ready? Somebody can show you without a doubt 100% irrefutable proof it's all a lie. The vaccine's bullshit. The treatments are real that they have. They would still say you're a conspiracy theorist. You have got to be weak and gullible and pathetic. I'm sorry, but my opinion on that will never change. That's just it. If you can't think for yourself.
Right.
What do you
think?
You got less than 2 minutes.
We
go ahead.
90 seconds. I love you, girl. Thank you again.
Love you too.
Once again for another awesome show, even though Lorna slept through it all.
I know. What's the excuse? She don't fucking work now.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
How can she be tired? That's a luxury.
God bless us all. Love y'all. God bless America, our children, veterans, first responders, our military, and God bless the Defender 7. Amen.
Amen.